This is the WMRA Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 7th, 2026. I'm Chris Boros. The U.S. Forest Service says it's considering closing dozens of research facilities across the country, including one in Blacksburg. The closure is part of a larger restructuring plan the federal agency announced in March. As Radio IQ's Roxy Todd reports, Senator Tim Kaine says he's concerned by what the announcement could mean for forests in Virginia.
The Forest Service did not clarify how many staff in Virginia will have to relocate as part of their restructuring plan. Senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine, along with 32 congressional leaders, wrote a letter to the Department of Agriculture, noting the agency already saw cuts last year. Kaine said he's especially concerned to hear the Blacksburg facility may close.
I think we're going to regret this. U.S. Forest Service does a lot of research about how to maintain healthy forests. And if you maintain healthy forests, you improve air quality, you improve habitat for species, you improve water quality. Our forests, you know, basically are working to help us have a cleaner and more beautiful Virginia and a healthier planet.
Research conducted at the Blacksburg facility includes science about keeping streams and fish healthy, and their work is often done in collaboration with Virginia Tech. The Forest Service is considering closing more than 50 research stations across the country, a majority of the offices that manage forest science. The Forest Service is also relocating its headquarters from Washington, D.C. to Salt Lake City. President Donald Trump has proposed additional cuts to the agency's budget, as well as an increase of mining and logging on public lands. I'm Roxy Todd.
Electricity bills are rising across Virginia, and for many residents, it's unclear why. WMRA's Angelie Schindler reports.
When Avery Smith opened her latest electric bill, she was shocked.
230-something, 239, I think.
Smith lives alone in a one-bedroom apartment in Lynchburg and gets her electricity from Appalachian Power, which serves about 1.1 million customers across Virginia, West Virginia, and Tennessee. She says she barely uses the electricity.
I'm not gonna lie, I literally don't turn on any lights. Yeah. And I'm very conscious about turning all the lights off when I go to bed or when I leave my apartment.
Just a year ago, she says her bill was closer to $100, even when she was living with someone else.
From living with someone to now living alone is insane, the price difference.
Across Virginia, many residents are reporting similar increases, whether they're served by Appalachian Power or Dominion Energy, which provides electricity to most of the rest of the state. A recent report from Clean Virginia found monthly electricity bills have risen more than 65% since 2007, outpacing inflation. So what's driving the spike? One major pressure point is demand. After more than a decade of relatively flat electricity use, experts say demand is rising again, driven by things like electric vehicles, new technology, and especially large data centers powering artificial intelligence. That growth is putting new strain on a grid that wasn't built for it. But state regulators say there's no clear evidence yet that data centers are directly raising residential bills. Instead, regulators with the Virginia State Corporation Commission, or SCC, point to a mix of other factors driving up costs, like higher fuel prices, rising labor and infrastructure expenses, and increased demand during extreme weather, such as January's Arctic air mass and ice storm. They say standard rate increases and the cost of maintaining and upgrading the grid are also pushing bills higher. However, Greg Weatherford with the SCC says that bill increases due to data centers.
If it isn't happening now, it's very likely to happen soon.
He says the state is trying to get ahead of the problem. The Virginia State Corporation Commission is the agency that regulates utilities and approves electricity rates in the state. Last November, the commission approved rate increases they estimate will raise the average residential customer's monthly bill by about $11 for Dominion customers and $4 for Appalachian customers. Regulators also approved what's called the GS5 high load tariff, a new pricing system for massive energy users like data centers. Under the policy, companies must commit to long-term contracts, pay upfront for infrastructure tied to them, and cover most of the grid costs, even if they don't use all the newly generated and distributed power. The goal is to prevent a worst-case scenario where utilities build out the grid for large customers and everyday ratepayers are left covering the bill. Still, even with those protections, electricity prices are rising, and not just because of demand. Robinson Meyer, the founding executive editor of climate news outlet Heatmap, wrote in a recent New York Times opinion piece that wholesale electricity prices are going up. He says a growing share of your bill now goes toward maintaining and expanding the grid itself. Components like transmission lines, substations, and other aging infrastructure. Much of the grid is decades old and needs to be repaired or replaced. And extreme storms can necessitate rebuilding entire parts of it. And in some cases, higher fuel prices, especially natural gas, are pushing up the cost of generating electricity in the first place. Utility bills aren't just based on how much power you use. They're made up of several components, including generation, transmission, and delivery charges, plus additional fees for grid upgrades and infrastructure projects. So even if you use less electricity, you can still pay more, because much of your bill is tied to maintaining and expanding the grid. Utilities like Appalachian Power maintain tens of thousands of miles of power lines, and say the average residential customer in Virginia pays about 17 cents per kilowatt hour. For Smith, the disconnect between using less electricity and paying more is hard to understand.
I have been so angry and confused.
She says she's already tried cutting back even further.
I always thought I was like very conscious about like turning off lights and everything and not using a ton of electricity anyway. But then once I got a super high bill, I was like, oh, let me try to like cut down even more and like only turn on the lights once it gets dark outside. But even then, like my bill's still going up.
And she's left with questions many Virginians are now asking.
And like, I just want to know, like, what am I doing wrong? And if I am doing something wrong.
Regulators with the SCC say the answer may be nothing. For WMRA News, I'm Anjali Schindler.
You can find photos and links to more information at WMRA.org or on the WMRA app. Virginia has had a ban on the open carry of some firearms in certain locations since the 90s, but that's about to change. And while a recent judge's order required a change to the law, the bill's author, as Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner found out, argued it was about something much more sinister.
We're creating criminals out of people who want to drive to their next-door neighbor's farm in their pickup truck.
That's Central Virginia Republican Delegate Tom Garrett speaking against a bill by Richmond Democratic Senator Mike Jones that expands a ban on the open carry of some types of firearms from a handful of cities to the entire state. Garrett's mention of criminalizing while driving resonated with Jones. The senator said the long-running law targeted majority black cities in Virginia, Richmond, Chesapeake, and Newport News, among others. Jones argues that was likely on purpose.
This portion came on the books in like mid-90s, early to mid-90s, and anyone that had a capacity magazine 20-plus needed a concealed carry in all the black parts of the Commonwealth.
Notably, Jones also said the impetus for the law was about, quote, geographic consistency.
You and I are in Chesterfield, we're fine, but we cross underneath that bridge, we're now riding dirty, as they would say, and that's not good.
And a Richmond judge invalidated the existing law on constitutional grounds in March, writing, quote, gun violence is an issue that besieges the entirety of the Commonwealth, regardless of geography or population. But Jones said lingering impacts in the wake of tough-on-crime policies of the 80s led to that 90s-era law, and he was glad to see it changed.
This was a byproduct of that. And all they do is seek to stack on charges to individuals who get stopped in Richmond. Driving while black is a thing.
Governor Abigail Spanberger signed the new law last month. It goes into effect July 1. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Virginia is about to take a new approach to problem gambling. Radio IQ's Michael Pope has the story.
Virginia has experienced a huge explosion of gambling options in the last few years, with several new casinos and skill games at convenience stores and gambling apps on smartphones. Carolyn Hawley at Virginia Commonwealth University says that's created an explosion of problem gambling.
What we've seen is, as gambling availability has increased in Virginia, we're also seeing an increase in the number of people who are seeking help. If you look at our state's problem gambling helpline calls, they've risen dramatically in recent years. And those who are reaching out are also increasingly younger populations.
Delegate Paul Krizak is a Democrat from Fairfax County who introduced a bill that's about to become law that adds new positions to an advisory committee on problem gambling. One new position will be for a recovery specialist and another for law enforcement.
No other addiction has as many suicides as problem gambling does. It's number one suicide addiction. So it's very important that we have as strong treatment process as possible.
The new members could be in place for the next meeting of the Problem Gambling Advisory Committee in July. I'm Michael Pope.
The FBI searched the Portsmouth, Virginia business office of State Senator Louise Lucas yesterday In an emailed statement to partner station VPM News, the agency said that it's, quote, exerting a court-authorized federal search warrant and that there is no threat to public safety. The FBI did not confirm the search was of Lucas's property or which court authorized the warrant. The Washington Post reports the search involves an investigation of possible corruption and bribery related to marijuana business. Service providers in Charlottesville report that the area's housing needs are climbing. Shayla Washington is executive director of Blue Ridge Area Coalition for the Homeless. She presented the latest data to the city council this week.
It's hard for folks to find work. It's hard for folks to find units that they can afford. And so it just leads to burnout for the staff who are trying to support folks who have really high needs and a lot of barriers to getting into housing and very limited landlord stock.
Washington says over the past 12 months, the organization has identified more than 700 unhoused members of the community, and that's up from last year's total of 620. This has been the WMRA Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 7th, 2026. I'm Chris Boros. Thanks for listening.